Thanks for tuning in to Up for Debate. I'm Julie Royes. The following program is pre-recorded, so I won't be taking any calls, but I appreciate you spending the hour with us and hope you enjoy the broadcast.
Should churches hire armed guards or perhaps encourage members of their congregation to carry concealed weapons? Given the threat of terrorism and the recent killing of a priest in France, some are saying they should. Churches are prime targets of Islamic extremists, they say, and church leaders need to protect their congregations. Yet others argue that Jesus was a man of peace, and encouraging armed resistance goes against his command to turn the other cheek. Welcome to Up for Debate. I'm Julie Royes. Joining me today is Chuck Chadwick, president of a company that's put hundreds of armed gatekeepers in churches across Texas. Challenging his perspective is Mark Woods, a pastor and writer who cautions churches against having armed security. We'll hear from both men in a moment, but first, here's what some of you think about whether or not churches should hire armed guards.
I wouldn't want them visual, but I do believe the undercover officers would be a good idea.
Maybe, you know, armed security might turn people away.
I am definitely not against it. And I'm not 100% for it.
I think a lot of it just depends on kind of where the church is, what the size is.
I think that Christian churches may become a target, so I think it's a good idea.
It depends on what you need. If you have a big church and you have a lot of people there, then yeah, you should have armed security. Stuff is crazy nowadays, so everybody needs to stay strapped.
No, God will protect me.
Gun-free zones are just not as secure as zones that have guns in them.
That's a really hard question, because I think that it would make me feel like, as we were walking in, that we weren't trusting the Lord.
I don't believe that we should have armed security guards. Christianity is about peace and about having faith in God above, you know, the situation that's going on.
You want to protect the folks that are in there so that they're secure. It's probably a necessity, particularly in some areas.
I'm thinking that the day is coming when we need that because of all the terrorism going on, unfortunately.
Yes, because things in this world are becoming bad, and there's going to be attacks at church, too.
Well, yeah, these days I think churches should have armed security because you never know when someone's going to come in and guns a-blazing like the Matrix, so we got to be able to defend, right?
I think church should feel like a safe place, and that shouldn't be a need.
I'm not opposed to it if it's necessary.
No, I don't think so. I don't believe that we should have to resort to armed security guards.
We've seen so many places that have been attacked, mosques, movie theaters, schools. I think churches need to be protected too.
Well, what do you think? Would you like to have armed security guards at your church, or would you like your church to be a gun-free zone? Are you okay with people carrying guns, provided that they're concealed? To join the live online discussion, just go to facebook.com/upfordebate or to comment on Twitter. Our handle is @up4debateradio. That's @up4debateradio, and 4 is the number 4. Again, I'm Julie Royes, and I'm sure that you were horrified, as I was, when the media reported the slaying of an 85-year-old French priest. The priest reportedly was killed by two terrorists pledging allegiance to ISIS. These terrorists also severely injured an 86-year-old church parishioner. This was the first attack of its kind on French soil. But here in America, we've had plenty of attacks at churches, not necessarily by ISIS, but by others with similar murderous intent. Just over a year ago, I'm sure many of you remember, the 22-year-old Dylan Roof, who reportedly killed 9 black parishioners at a church in South Carolina. But over the past 17 years, there have been more than 1,200 incidents involving deadly force at churches or faith-based organizations. These aren't always religiously motivated or racially motivated. Sometimes they're robberies, gang-related fights, domestic conflicts that spill over onto ministry property. In fact, just last Sunday, a man fatally shot his wife as she was coming out of her church in downtown Chicago, and then he turned the gun on himself and shot himself. Church violence is a shocking and it's a horrible reality, but the truth is that today no place is safe, not even a church. So then the question is, what do we do about it? Well, one of my guests says we definitely should arm ourselves. The other says that we should not, unless there's a specific threat of violence. Joining me to argue in favor of armed security is Chuck Chadwick, founder and president of the National Organization for Church Security and Safety Management. This is a company that's helped thousands of churches throughout America with security and safety issues. Chuck also is the president of Gatekeepers Security Services, which has put hundreds hundreds of armed gatekeepers in churches across Texas. He also heads the Christian Security Institute, which is a state-licensed armed security school which trains, certifies, and licenses church security operators. So, Chuck, welcome. It's great to have you join us.
Good morning. Good morning.
And I understand we're pulling you away from a conference that you're at. Is that right?
Yes, right now we're at our 12th annual National Security Conference in, at New Life Church in Colorado Springs. So it's nice to be away from Texas for right now when it's, where it's 105 or something like that.
I bet it is. And Colorado Springs is a lovely area. I got to go there earlier this year. So, well, welcome. And thanks so much for taking the time in the middle of your conference to join us. I'm looking forward to this discussion. But also joining me to argue against having armed security is Mark Woods, a writer, contributing editor for the online magazine Christian Today. Mark also serves as a deacon at Leckham Baptist Church in the UK, and he previously edited the British Baptist newspaper, The Baptist Times, and was a consulting editor for the Methodist Recorder. So, Mark, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks very much. It's good to talk to you, and it's a cool 70 degrees here, so I'm probably a lot more comfortable than Chuck.
Yeah, well, we're connecting from all over the United States, but also the world, so great to have someone from the UK with us as well today. And gentlemen, this is definitely one of those topics that we wish we didn't have to discuss. We wish we had a safer world, but again, our world is becoming more violent, and Christians often are becoming the targets of that violence. So, Mark, let me begin with you, because you are against what I think a lot of people would say, hey, this is the obvious answer, and that is to arm people in our churches. Why is that something that you don't think is a good idea?
Well, I think maybe I should say, first of all, that I'm very conscious of talking to you from the other side of the Atlantic, where guns have just a different place in our society. There aren't so many of them, and we're much less comfortable around them. So you obviously and your listeners want to make allowances for that. I think the other thing to say is that I'm not an absolutist in this respect. I don't think you can make it a blanket rule. I think it depends on what country you're talking about, what the situation is. There are countries where law enforcement is weak or ineffective. But I still think that the presumption should be always against it unless there is a specific threat to the welfare or well-being of or the safety of the people in a church. And I think in that case, you probably call law enforcement in, actually.
Well, why would you think that it wouldn't be a good idea, say, in the United States, where there are so many guns, where we have had so many incidents of violence, why do you think maybe churches should lean against it? You know, what do you think biblically would be the argument?
I think from a Christian point of view, I'm very worried about the idea about churches routinely going armed, because I think it normalizes and sanctifies the idea that violence is an acceptable and reasonable answer to a problem. And you probably know the saying that when you when all you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. And my worry is that once churches start to routinely arm themselves against threats which might not even exist, the danger is that that guns start to be used when, in fact, there's no need for those guns to be used. And I would argue that there are probably better ways and less violent ways to ensure, as far as possible anyway, to ensure a church's security. I think it sends a message that that violence is okay for Christians, and I'm not so sure that's true.
Okay. In the biblical argument, turn the other cheek, what scriptures do you look to specifically?
Well, there is the argument about turning the other cheek, certainly, but I think another scripture is when Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and I really question how bringing guns into churches routinely can act as a peacemaking strategy. I'm not sure it can.
Hmm. All right. Well, also joining me again, Chuck Chadwick, president of the National Organization for Church Security and Safety Management. And Chuck, there's no doubt that Jesus was a man who was nonviolent. So how do you kind of take the pushback that, hey, you know, just like our friend here from across the pond said, that this is not Jesus' way?
We probably have more in common than he thinks.
okay.
Because our organization has a specific model that we go by whenever we judge when we want, if we want to put guns into churches. And what we do is basically what he said. It was that our sources would be law enforcement if we thought there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that there's really not enough. If you say if the model was you wanted to put a cop in every church, there would not be enough of them to go around. They would in most towns there are more churches than there are cops. So that's impossible to do. So what we do is we back and we say, well, private security, what does it take to do that? What does it take to be a professional private security person that would be hired if there were a threat and you couldn't get the cops? So number one, our model is that any person that takes on that role, the scriptural role, the gatekeeper, our founding scripture is 1 Chronicles 9:21 through 27, where it talks about the gatekeepers were assigned to the different doors to the temple to keep the bad people out. And that's merely what these people are trying to model, is they're trying to model that there is danger from the outside, and there needs to be somebody that watches for that. Now, whether they have a gun or not, that's really not the issue. The issue is, are they trained enough to know how to de-escalate a system, a situation, how to, what would be the next layer of violence or of everything. But, there's a whole force continuum that has to be gone through before you get to that deadly force. Now, if that person comes in and wants to apply deadly force, then somebody needs to have it doesn't have to be a uniformed cop sitting in the lobby. It can be somebody from the congregation or the staff that has passed whatever makes it legal for them to do this, and to have it to be the person who would escalate it until the cops got there.
Okay, let me push back just a little bit, because I think a lot of people would say, all right, you're citing 1 Chronicles. That's from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have a new ethic, and it's one of nonviolence. How do you address that?
What did Jesus say before he left for the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you have a sword? If you don't, you need to go out and sell it and get one and come with me. Now, what part of that do I not get?
Okay. You know what? We need to take a break. But when we come back, I'm going to let my guest, Mark Woods, respond to that. Again, you are listening to Up for Debate on Moody Radio. I'm Julie Royce. Again, joining me, Chuck Chadwick of the National Organization for Church Security and Safety Management. Also, Mark Woods, a pastor and editor with Christian Today. And if you'd like to join the discussion, you can do so online at facebook.com/upfordebate or on Twitter. Our handle is @upfordebateradio, and 4 is the number 4. We'll be right back. With the increasing threat of terrorism and violence against Christians, should churches hire armed guards and encourage members of the congregation to carry concealed weapons? Welcome back to Up for Debate. I'm Julie Royce, and today we are exploring this hotly debated topic with the president of a church security company who supports armed guards and a pastor and writer who does not. I'd love to hear what you think on this topic. To join the live online discussion, just go to facebook.com/upfordebate or to comment on Twitter. Our handle is at up the number 4 debate radio. That's at up 4 debate radio, and 4 is the number 4. Again, joining me today is Chuck Chadwick of National Organization for Church Security and Safety Management, and Mark Woods, a pastor and editor with Christian Today. Also coming up later in the broadcast, Carl Chin will be joining me. Carl was a responder in a standoff with an angry gunman at Focus on the Family about 20 years ago. You may remember that. And since then, he has done extensive research on violence in the church, so you definitely want to stay tuned when Carl will join me. If you'd like to know more about any of my guests, just go to our website, upfordebate.org. And while you're there, I really encourage you, click on the Facebook tab and become part of our Facebook community. Right before break, we were talking, Mark, about this command that Jesus said to his disciples, saying, you know, if you don't have a sword, go out and buy one, and saying that's license for Christians to respond. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm certainly not a pacifist, and I don't think that command actually requires an absolute non-violence from Christians, though that might be a choice that some people make. And certainly I think that if people are under threat in a church and simply can't defend themselves, as they might be from a shooter of some sort, then yes, force may be required to stop that person, and maybe even lethal force. So my reservations about having armed guards in churches aren't based on a general pacifist ethic. They're based more on a practical approach, really, because I just question the usefulness, to be honest, of such an approach. I was rather pleased to hear how Chuck actually approaches this whole question. It seems to me that it does seem like a very responsible way of doing so. And I suppose if you have armed guards in churches, then it's best that they are trained and that they operate according to a particular philosophy, that violence is the very, very, very last resort in a case like this. So my reservations about armed guards in churches aren't based on pacifism, as I say, but mm-hmm. more on just the question of whether it's actually necessary and whether it works.
Hmm. Well, let's go to our phone lines. We have a lot of people who want to weigh in on this. I got Don on the line from, Iowa, correct?
Yeah, maybe I responded too quickly before I heard your guest speak there. As Mark just said, it seems like he doesn't consider himself a pacifist. I just was attempting to go to the view of the pacifist, which would be, you know, the question being, would you call the police? In other words, at some point, some bigger force than what the perpetrator is bringing to bear needs to be brought to bear on him. And whether I personally don't see any problem with the church itself properly being trained and have a plan to be able to do that.
Yeah, and there are people, though, that would say, we had Shane Claiborne on the show, and he said this specifically. He was asked, if somebody invaded your home, do you believe that it would be wrong to use violence? And he said yes, that he would not defend himself even if somebody invaded his home with deadly force. So there are those that believe that. In fact, if you're listening right now, I would love to hear from you, because most of the people calling in right now, it sounds like agree that the thing to do is to put armed security in there. But I'd like to hear from specifically pacifists. Again, the number to call, 877-548-3675. Are any of you out there who just feel like no matter what, it's our response to respond with nonviolence? But let me throw this to Chuck. I'm just wondering, since you've been doing church security for so many years, do you have some specific stories of people who have been stopped by the whole, we lost Chuck? Oh, we seem to have a line that's breaking up a little bit there. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to ask Chuck specifically about that, those incidents where that's happened. But somebody who has experience that is Carl Chin. He was in a situation at Focus on the Family where people were taken hostage. And so I'd like to bring him on and bring this dimension of the whole conversation in. So, Carl, thanks so much for being willing to join us. It's great to have you on Up for Debate.
Thank you.
So, Carl, tell me about what happened on Focus on the Family and how that whole situation really impacted your view of it.
Well, prior to that situation, I would have probably have agreed almost 100% with Mark. I would have defended myself at my home and or my children or my wife, but I did not feel that there was any need for real sincere security at any kind of a faith-based organization, and I had all of the standard arguments that Mark offered. But when you face a gunman, and he, in that case, had what he claimed were explosives and took hostages, and when you face that situation, it causes you to really do some soul-searching. And I not only did soul-searching, I started researching on the topic, and you quoted my statistics when you started earlier.
Yeah.
I have tracked over 1,200 deadly force incidents at faith-based organizations in the U.S. since 1999. And one of the churches that I consulted to start security was, in fact, New Life Church, where I went, and we still attend. And then I was there on December 9th, 2007, when a gunman came in, having just killed two girls in the parking lot, came into our building. We responded with armed security and wounded him. And upon being wounded, he took his own life, which those type of guys often do. And he had posted a suicide diatribe in which he said, Christian America, this is your Columbine. And when he went down in our church, he went down with an AR, two handguns, and 1,400 rounds of ammunition.
Wow.
So you can see how those two experiences have, in addition to the research I've done and the places I've walked, they have shaped my opinion on this.
Wow, and I can see that. And that could have been what happened at New Life. That could have been a bloodbath, and it was horrific what happened, but it could have been an awful lot worse, couldn't it?
It absolutely could have. He had the intention and the capacity to make good on his threat that, Christian America, this is your Columbine. And any criminal act starts with an intention, and they have capacity, and all they need is opportunity. And that's the only thing we, as the potential victims, have control over, is that potential opportunity. And Mark mentioned that maybe guns would be a solution in a case where you know you're under threat. Well, in my studies, over 50% of these situations, they didn't know it was a threat until the shots were fired.
Hmm.
And in a deadly force situation, it goes down extremely quick. We had law enforcement 1.1 mile away from the church. And by the time they got back to our church, it was all over.
Hmm.
So there is definitely precedent and a good reason to have a ready force, capable and willing to face an intruder. Now, that said, I don't want to make this about guns because I believe, like Chuck said a while ago, the number one thing you need is a trained and ready team. Let guns be a different conversation down the road, and it's a careful conversation. You don't want, you know, I just read something here a while back says, you want everybody in the church armed. No, nobody's saying that. Don't want everybody in the church armed. You only want people who have the capacity and the training and the knowledge to go with the deadly force that they're carrying.
Yeah, and to get a concealed carry permit requires an awful lot of training. I've seen that firsthand from some friends of mine who have gone through that. So it is a pretty involved process. Let me go to the phone lines, though, because I have Sabby on the line from Fort Lauderdale. And from what I understand, Sabby, you don't like the idea of there being guns. Can you explain why?
I don't like the idea of us having guns in the church because the church should be one of the places that people should feel safe and out of the things of the world. And if we come and pray, we know that the Holy Spirit is our protector and our strength, and He reveals all things also. One of the reasons why the gun in the church wouldn't be a good idea is because that I believe it will cause a lot of fear for believers and some of the believers. Because yeah. When we enter into a church, we try and... Yes, go ahead.
Sabby, I'm just wondering, where are you from originally? I'm hearing an accent.
I was born in Haiti. I grew up here in the state, but
I'm just wondering because there's a lot of places in the world where we think that it's bad here. It's nothing here compared to some places. Maybe not Haiti so much, but certainly we have brothers and sisters in Nigeria who face this all the time. I mean, there are places in the Middle East where churches are just under unbelievable violence, and they're facing these sorts of issues every day. Do we fight back? And I know some churches have said, no, we do not fight back. We will not take that position. Is that a right thing to do? Very difficult questions. Again, joining me to discuss this is Chuck Chadwick of the National Organization for Church Security and Safety Management. Also, Mark Woods, a pastor and editor with Christian Today. You're listening to Up for Debate on Moody Radio. I'm Julie Royce, and we'll be right back after a short break. I'm Julie Royce, and welcome back to Up for Debate. Again, today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so our phone lines are not open. But thanks so much for being with us, and enjoy the rest of the program. Increasingly, churches are becoming the targets of armed violence. And how should the church respond? Is it okay for churches to hire armed security guards? Welcome back to Up for Debate. I'm Julie Royce, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic. Some Christians say hiring armed security guards violates Jesus' ethic of nonviolence, or it just will make people feel less safe in our churches. Others say it'll make people feel more safe, and that the Bible gives Christians license to act in self-defense. What do you think? You can join the conversation on either Facebook or Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at Up4DebateRadio, and 4 is the number 4. And to get to us on Facebook, just go to Facebook.com/Up4Debate. Also, on Facebook, I'm giving away 5 copies of Evil Invades a Sanctuary, a book by Carl Chin, one of my guests today, who was a responder to a standoff with an angry gunman at Focus on the Family 20 years ago, and that changed his whole perspective and launched him into just a study of this whole issue of violent attacks on the church. I also have 5 copies of a DVD called The Armor of Light. This is a film documenting one evangelical pastor's journey from being pro-life and pro-gun to actually supporting gun control. So 2 very different journeys that landed 2 Christians on different sides of this issue. As always, there's no purchase necessary to enter our giveaway, but you do have to be 18 years older or older and enter by 12:30 Central Time. So again, just go to Facebook.com/Up4Debate. Again, joining me today is Carl Chin, who again was a part of that standoff at Focus on the Family, and also Mark Woods, a pastor and a writer who does not support the idea of having armed security in the church. And Chuck Chadwick, who was with us, looks like he had to return to his conference. So let me throw this to you, Mark, because you haven't had a chance to weigh in a little bit here, but we had a caller call in who said, hey, just that idea of having guns in the church, that would make me feel less safe. I'm guessing from your perspective, you were saying in the UK you don't feel that comfortable with guns. I don't know that all of us in the U.S. feel all that comfortable with guns either. I actually had somebody who had a gun and like gave it to me to hold, and I was shaking. I'm just not used to guns myself. I mean, it just made me so nervous, and I was so jumpy, which is not when you should probably be handling a gun. But what do you think about that? Just that whole thing that, you know, if somebody sees a gun, that's going to make them feel less safe. You feel that way?
Yes, I think there's a lot in there, to be honest. I mean, personally, I'm not terribly uncomfortable with them. I was in our military cadets at school, and we had a rifle range, and we used to shoot, well, anything we could, really, and it was a lot of fun. So I'm personally quite comfortable with them. But so there's something about the idea of people carrying guns routinely in church. And I'm not just talking about the security guards who might be trained by somebody who belongs to Chuck's organization, but people who can openly carry guns into church or carry concealed weapons into church. And in some churches I know, in some parts of the States, that's pretty normal. And that does worry me, to be honest.
Yeah, there's few
one of
places.
The questions which I,
let me just ask
sorry.
Carl that, because there's very few places. Texas might be one of them where you can actually brandish a gun in public, but most places in the United States, that has to be concealed, correct?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of places where it does not have to be concealed, and that number's growing all the time. But I think perhaps the question is being asked wrong. I would ask the question, would you be concerned knowing of the people that you don't know who have a gun, who are there for criminal purposes? In that case, would you rather have somebody there that's armed and ready, or would you rather just have been a church that pretended like it would never happen? See, it's that criminal with the gun that we should be concerned about.
Okay.
Everybody wants to make this discussion to be about the trained defenders with the gun, and that's really the wrong question.
Okay.
The question is, what are you going to do with the multiple cases that happen where there's a bad guy in your church, with a gun?
Let me throw that back to Mark, because I did interrupt you, and I just want to give you a chance to finish your thought, but also respond to what Carl just said.
Well, I'm interested, Carl, you might be able to answer this question, but of the 1,200 incidents that you've documented, I wonder how many of those incidents were cases of people coming from outside the congregation into the church, and how many were generated from within the church? So there were people who, you know, who were members of the congregation, perhaps getting into a situation of some sort, and a gun goes off. I don't know if you've collected that sort of information, but it might be interesting to know if you have.
Carl?
I have, and the number of attackers who were related to the church is about 23%, as I recall. And that's total attackers. That's 60% of those had a gun, 40% had some other weapon. I haven't broke it down into guns, but about, as I recall, and I'm trying to find that statistic right now, aggressor statistics, affiliated with the ministry, 22.99%. And what affiliated with means member, past member, staff, vendor, some way or another affiliated with the church. And the reason I track it that way is I don't like the training that only cautions people to watch for intruders. Because often, just like the situation that you mentioned in Chicago last week, that husband and wife had both gone to that church for 20 years. So he was not a stranger to that church. But he went off the rails, got angry, came back, stood beside her car, knew where she parked, and when she came out, pulled out a gun, shot and killed her. That would make up part of the 22.99%.
But still a small percentage. I mean, I was kind of expecting it to be higher.
Small.
Yeah,
and
Mark,
again,
were you surprised?
60% of those had a gun. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Mark, were you surprised by that?
Yes, I thought it would be more, to be honest. I'm surprised it's so many from outside the church altogether. And these people from outside the church, they target the church for what sort of reason?
The three big issues are domestic violence, spillover, robbery, and just a personal conflict. They're angry at somebody at the church for some personal reason, not angry at the church itself. Example would be a guy that shot up a church, killed three people, as I recall, because one of the people in the church owed him money and he knew where he would be. So that kind of thing. That's
so we think of it as, I mean, right now we're having this discussion because a French priest was killed by ISIS, and I think the terrorism threat is so high and it makes us all feel unsafe. But the truth is, it's probably, it's some sort of related activity, even though they weren't from the church necessarily, the biggest percentage, they did have some sort of connection or beef, or as you said, robbery. That's always a motive for that sort of thing. I want to go to our phone lines because I do have Scott on the line from West Palm Beach, and I understand you have a concealed carry permit and you sometimes carry to church. Is that right?
Yes. Hi. Yeah, I do. I have a concealed carry permit here in Florida. I do occasionally will carry. I'm also a volunteer. But where I go, we have a tiered level of security. We have deputies. Then I actually believe they have church security that may or may not be armed, but it's a kind of a tiered level. Mm-hmm. And I just feel better. You know, it's a crazy world. I trust 100% in God to have my back, but it's just an extra level of security that I feel. I pray I never have to use it.
How much training did you have to go through to get that?
That was, I took a class. I took a weapons handling class, probably about 16 hours.
Okay. And a lot of background checks, that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's an FBI background check, fingerprints. I'm not 100% sure what the state of Florida requirements are, but yeah, they did a, you know, they check for any criminal history.
So you feel comfortable with other people in the church who have similarly gone through that process caring?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I mean, it's just, you know, in the church that I go to, I'm volunteer with their media group. And there was one time where our pastor was up preaching and a guy, he was inebriated. He came up and he almost tried to climb on the stage. So, you know, it was very rare.
But
very
not armed,
rare, but
was he? Was he armed?
Oh, no. He was armed with a baby in his hand, but he was very inebriated, but, you know, but you never, I mean, it's one of those things you never know. It's an unfortunate world that we live in, but, I think in those cases, it's, I don't want to be in a shoulda, woulda, coulda situation.
Understand. Let me go back to our phone lines. I also have Mike on the line from, sounds like you're listening from WCRF in Ohio. Hi, Mike. Hi, Mike. You on there?
Yeah. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. You kind of you have some pushback, I think. You don't like the idea of someone caring. Is that right?
Well, I have a twofold statement as far as that goes. First of all, a good friend of mine once told me, you can be a Christian without being a doormat. You know, you can. It's how you approach the situation. And the other thing I was going to say, the major thing was, you can arm yourself with the Word of God is the best route, I think, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm sure some would say, yes, the Word of God is a great weapon against the spiritual forces that face us, but people still get killed. The evil still prevails sometimes. I mean, sometimes it needs a real force back. You don't think so?
Well, but it's sort of like I said with the first statement, you know, you could be a Christian without being a doormat. I guess it's how you do it, too, is the other thing. I mean, you know, I guess you pick your choice of how you want to defend yourself there, as long as it's nothing drastic, I would say. I don't know if that makes any sense. But, yeah, this is my twofold statement there.
Okay. Carl, how do you respond to that?
Well, I'd say Mike probably hasn't had anybody coming down the church hallway shooting at him. And, you know, that I do believe the Lord has our back, just like I believe we should pay attention to Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Oh, I think we just lost Carl. You know what? We will get him right back. We have to go to break anyhow. But when we come back, again, we'll continue our discussion on whether or not churches should have armed security. Again, you're listening to Up for Debate on Moody Radio. I'm Julie Royce. Joining me today, Carl Chin, author of Evil Invades the Sanctuary. Also, Mark Woods, a pastor and an editor with Christian Today. I'd also love to hear from you. You can join the online discussion at facebook.com/upfordebate. Or feel free to email us at upfordebate@moody.edu. That's upfordebate@moody.edu. We'll be right back. Well, with Christians and churches increasingly becoming targets of violence, is it okay for churches to hire armed security? Or does this violate Jesus' ethic of nonviolence? Welcome back to Up for Debate. I'm Julie Royce. And today we're exploring this extremely relevant topic with guests on both sides of the issue. And if you'd like to weigh in, you can always join the conversation on Facebook. To get to us on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/upfordebate. Also on Facebook, I'm giving away copies of Evil Invades the Sanctuary, a book by one of my guests this morning, Carl Chin. I'm also giving away copies of a DVD called The Armor of Light, a film documenting one pastor's journey from being pro-life and pro-gun to actually supporting gun control. So to enter and to receive either one of those, just go to facebook.com/upfordebate. Also, I want to let you know that next week we'll be discussing whether our priorities are off when we put family before church. Joining me will be a pastor who argues that Jesus's focus was on the family of God, not the biological family. However, challenging his position will be a pastor who says that the whole setup is a bit of a false dichotomy. Should be a fascinating discussion, so I truly hope you can join me here next Saturday on Up for Debate. Well, returning to our discussion today on armed security in the churches, again joining me, Carl Chin, author of Evil Invades the Sanctuary, and also Mark Woods, a pastor and editor with Christian Today. And I want to go to our phone lines because I actually have somebody on the line who's a concealed carry grandma. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Tell me, what do you think of this whole situation? Have you taken your gun to church, and what made you decide to get a gun?
Well, I definitely have taken my gun to church. I do conceal carry every time I attend, and I have been a concealed carry permit holder for a few years now, and I just feel very strong about being able to protect myself against people who may choose to take my life or my grandkids' lives. So I conceal carry all the time.
And you're in Alaska, is that right?
That's correct.
So, I mean, I've never been to Alaska. I have visions of it being an absolutely gorgeous place, but not necessarily very dangerous or gun-infested place. But maybe, I don't know. I mean, is it a place
where
you live?
Anywhere can be a dangerous place. If you have a person who chooses to use a weapon in a way that is going to harm you, and to take the chance and not be protected, to me just doesn't sound very reasonable.
Well, let me push back a little bit for Carl. Let me ask you this, because there's, you know, biblical teachings about not worrying about your life or your body, that we should just trust God. And I think there's an awful lot of people that say, hey, we should just trust God for this and not have to arm ourselves. How do you respond to that?
Well, again, that's out of Matthew, the 6th chapter, and it says specifically we shouldn't worry about eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear, but we know that we have to take a proactive and intentional response to the things that we nourish our bodies with and that we wear. And security is the same way. I believe God protects us. I absolutely believe that. My wife and I have 13 grandchildren. I will pray over those cars when my grandchildren are on the move. But I also want them to wear their seat belts, and I want them to drive cautious. And that's all we're saying, is pray to God, but post a guard. Like Nehemiah said in 4:9. Nehemiah 4:9.
Mark, I'm curious how you respond to this, because, I mean, the response of Americans to arm ourselves, I mean, we take the Second Amendment pretty seriously, and that is what a lot of folks do. Does that seem odd to you, coming from your perspective?
Yes, it does, to be honest. I mean, I look, for instance, at the sheer number of gun deaths that there are in the U.S., and I looked it up just to be
sure about this before coming on the show, and last year there were nearly 14,000 gun deaths in the U.S. You know, that's a fair-sized town getting wiped out every year. And just as a comparison, that's 30 times the number of gun deaths there were in the U.K., and I think your population is about five times as big as ours. So those proportions are way out of line, it seems to me. And it's not because Americans are more violent or worse people than we are in the UK. It's just that there are more guns. And it just seems to me that, you know, one of the ways in which the churches could make a stand against the number of gun deaths is just by saying, you know, not here. We're not having guns in our church. You know, people shouldn't be bringing guns to church, conceal carry, open carry, whatever. You know, as I said earlier, if churches feel that there is a specific threat and that they really would be best served by having armed guards, well, maybe that's something to talk about. But routinely, I can't see the justification for it.
Okay,
and
Carl?
That's accepting everything that Carl said, and you know, not by any means underplaying his experience of actually being involved in a situation like that. But that's very, very rare, and I'm not sure that it's a justification for developing a whole policy of routinely arming churches because of that.
Okay, we're running out of time, but Carl, just briefly, you want to respond to that?
Certainly. Yeah, the two points he brought up is we shouldn't have a gun unless we know there's a threat. Well, like I said, most of the time you're not going to know there's a threat until the shots are fired. Second of all, of the 1,000 gun deaths, the overwhelming huge majority of those are by violent criminals. And we're not talking about them when we're talking about who's armed in the church. We're talking about people who are prepared to stop that 14,000 violent armed criminals.
Hmm. Well, I'm not a pacifist, but I did grow up as one. I do have respect for those who hold that position. And I know that my guest, Mark, wasn't saying that, but I do understand his kind of desire to not see guns in churches. And I wish we didn't have to, but I think there is a biblical ethic. In addition to Jesus' nonviolence, there's also an idea that you protect the defenseless. And I think at times that's what we're called to do, to actually protect the defenseless. And so I do think there can be a case for having armed security guards, but again, always with the utmost concern for the people that are there, for restraint, and for not being trigger happy in any way, but again, to defend the defenseless. That's my view. As always, I'd love to hear from you. You can connect with me at my blog, Julie Royes, spelled ROYS.com. Thanks to my guests today, Chuck Chadwick, Mark Woods, Carl Chin, and thanks to the crew here, my producer, Karen Hendren, engineer, VNA Via, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week here on Up for Debate.